major challenge for me is to bring Pearl Ridge to its ultimate potential, you know, which is to make it the great, to just ratchet it up a notch from what it is. It's a great center as it is. We cater to the Oahu market, the leeward side mostly, and the military. We are not a tourist destination. Right. We never will be, don't want to be. And our marketing is geared towards the residents. And I want it to be the best center as far as tenant mix goes, and facilities and service that it can possibly be to those residents.
Well, what does that mean, though? I mean, I understand the concept, but
I think we're doing a really, really good job. I think we can do it better, and I want to be the one that makes it better. You know,
I mean, do you have a vision
service
of what that is, though?
Well, I think just getting our merchants on board with providing customer service through merchant meetings. When there's a problem, usually there are issues in my job that come to my attention where somebody feels mistreated by a merchant. So they'll come to me as, you know, can you help me? Mm-hmm. And I'll meet with the merchant and we'll get both sides of the story, because there always are two sides. And then we'll come up with a plan to make it better or to get this person as a customer again.
Really? People come to you and say, I had no idea.
All the time. You won't believe what happened to me at whatever, you know.
Okay.
I'll say, oh, geez, okay, let's, you know, and then I'll get their side of the story. And then I'll call the manager of the store and say, oh, yeah, let's, you know. But we, in the past, I've been able to work with my merchants very closely like that to say, look, we can't afford to lose one person. Mm-hmm. Because word of mouth is what the whole world works off of, I believe. And it's very important to me that everybody have a good thing to say about Pearl Ridge. Even if they have a bad experience, let's turn it into something positive, if we can. Sometimes you just can't do it. But
So it's not so much bringing in different kinds of merchants or different kinds of retailers. It's
making our existing merchants better.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, to just find ways to motivate them, to get them to provide the best service, to you know, make sure that when we do have a vacancy come up, that we put the appropriate use in there. That's extremely important, that we don't just throw someone in there because they'll pay the rent. Mm-hmm. That we look at who's beside them, who's on either side, who's on that floor, who's in uptown, you know, that's going to be influenced by them. Are they going to hurt other merchants?
Right.
Are they going to provide a synergy with other merchants? It's a whole big picture thing. And the neat thing about MMI is, I don't do this by myself. I literally do have a team of people, from the CEO of our company and president to our CFO and my staff here. We are all part of the decision-making process, which I think has been unique in my career, to have those many people involved. And it's not micromanagement. It's teamwork.
Can we go back to the customer experience?
Sure.
So how do you do that? If there's a, you said you have merchant meetings, do you kind of lead those and talk about?
Well, I've back to what we talked about before. I've been sort of low key in the beginning, and just sort of I say a few words and that's about it. But as we go forward, there are certain people we can bring in, to motivational speakers. Mm-hmm. Speakers who deal with customer service specifically.
You have brought those in?
And we haven't done that yet, but we will. And
how often are those merchant meetings?
They're quarterly. And, you know, the funny thing is that the usually...
Is that when you're making the milkshakes?
Oh, not yet. Right now it's staff only.
Okay.
The word will get out and you'll see the merchants. That's why I say, you know, usually by end of my tenure, you know... It gets to be quite a popular thing, and it's fun.
So you've had one merchant meeting then, or
we've had a couple.
Okay.
And you know, there and we have merchant board meetings and things like that. The biggest challenge there is to get the merchants to attend, because usually the merchants who are in attendance don't need what we're trying to convey to them.
Right.
So Scott Creel and I are working together to come up with ways that we can do this and get through to our merchants. And, you know, so we're getting plans together. And my style is to just ease into things and mm-hmm. not, like you said, not come in and, well, you're doing it this way and this is, you know, we're going to change everything tomorrow. I mean, Marty left me an amazing property. And I want to make sure that I acclimate to the property rather than the property acclimate right. to me. And also, like I said before, just keep it ongoing and then find very subtle ways to ratchet it up, to make it a little bit better. And I think through some of the marketing ideas I've been able to share with Scott and some of the things that he's done are fantastic. And you know, the thing that's in place here that I haven't had the privilege of in my other positions is the staff is phenomenal. They've got a lot of years here, a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge base that I can draw from. So I've really been, you know, like I said, at the other distress centers, it's always, Fred, we want you to clean house. We want you to bring in a new marketing director, bring in, you know, and that's not the case here. And now it's really great in getting to know them, getting to see what their capabilities are, and sometimes what their shortfalls are, and then trying to bolster them up through education, classes, whatever. And we have staff meetings every week. It's an open exchange of ideas. We talk about leasing, operations, security, everything. And it's surprising how, you know, our accountant may say, hey, you know, I was thinking about this. I was at this mall over on Maui the other day, and I saw this tenant there that I haven't seen on our island. Could we maybe talk to them? You know, so it's a free exchange of ideas.
Right.
And one of the things I try to impress on everybody is my door, except for right now, is always open. And you don't have to certainly make an appointment, or you can just drop in. And if I'm busy, I'll tell you. But most of the time, I welcome people just stopping by, whether it be staff, I've told this to our tenants as well, that I will make time for you, and I want to know what's going on. I want to know what they think. I want to know what they really think. I don't want to hear what they want me to hear. You know, yeah. They think I want to hear. I want them to really tell me what it's all about. And I think as they get to know me better, we will develop a level of trust that will be mm-hmm. the real key to our communicating.
I want to ask one more question about the customer service idea, because one of the things I write about is the unemployment picture.
Right.
23 straight months, leading the rest of the country, and people just can't get enough bodies,
right.
Let alone people who are going to be, you know, really great employees.
Yeah.
How do people, merchants, but also, you know, what kind of advice can you give about how do you do that? How do you get customer service up to a high level while people are just trying to fill their shifts?
Yeah, and that's a big problem I've learned here, not only from a merchant standpoint, but construction,
yeah,
tenant build-outs in our office building, you know, that sort of thing. It's a constant battle. And, you know, I don't really have a solution for it or an answer, to be honest with you, Dan. But what we try to do is tell them that they, you know, with the people that they have, to make them the best that they mm-hmm. can be through training, through taking the time to communicate what your expectations are. And, you know, with national chains, it's kind of tough because,
right.
you know, a lot of that comes from corporate.
Yeah.
It's very regimented. And, you know, the local mom and pops may have two or three stores they're running in there. Like you said, they're trying to get a body in
yeah.
there. But, you know, these are some of the things I'm going to talk to them about in the future.
But you're just trying to remind them that customer service is
absolutely, it takes one person. You know, when did you go to your doctor and just call them up and say, hey, just want to let you know, I'm feeling great today.
Yeah.
You always call your doctor and say, oh, I feel horrible, I need an appointment, you know, this and this and this. So when things are not right, you're going to tell everybody and their mother.
Right.
And the word gets out through word of mouth that boy, I had this problem in Pearl Ridge, and gee, it was handled poorly, and
right.
I even went to the general manager, and that guy was worthless. I don't want that to ever happen. I may not be able to do what they want me to do, but at least we'll give it our best effort.
Give
to,
me a hearing.
Yeah, to hear.
What other call kind of, I had no idea people call you
Oh,
but then, I mean, I could do that.
I mean, I get, oh, yeah, geez. Now it's going to...
What kind of other calls do you get from customers?
Hold my calls, Jocelyn. I get calls about just about everything. I mean, you think about it. Tree trimming. Okay, what would anybody think about that? I had, not here, but in another property, I had trees trimmed because it was blocking the merchant signage. People have bad hair days, I have bad tree days. I must have gotten 50 calls that day. How could you cut those trees back? And we had an arborist. He did it, you know, to cut them back, but also so that they would rejuvenate themselves and live and all that. And they thought we killed the trees. But anything that anybody has an opinion about that they feel strong enough eventually ends up coming to me. And, you know, we've had people that make suggestions, and this is great. I welcome all calls. I mean, we joke about it, but I really do want to know if there's something bad that happened. I want to know if I can help.
Well, I did a story about, and I wanted to ask you about your relationship with Kahala, but I did a story earlier in the week about what's happened to Kahala in the in the week since the flood. And Ron Yoda and I were speaking, and he was saying, you know, he always knew that Kahala was a sort of a community center,
right?
But he,
right.
you know, it all kind of came to the fore after the after the flood. And I mean, I would think even more for Pearl Ridge, because it's more of a local.
I think people, and the reason I get the calls is people feel a sense of ownership. This is my center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I what I love about this property, and what really hit me when I say I connected with the property, was when I saw in the uptown, more so than downtown, but in the uptown section, the conversation areas. And I talked to our security director. I said, you let people sit there? He goes, yeah, Fred, we encourage it. I said, you're kidding. Wow.
What areas are you speaking of?
In uptown, the areas where the sofas are and the chairs and the tables.
Right.
And I'll see a Bible study group here. Or
groups coming in.
Yeah,
oh,
groups coming in. Or just individuals sitting and talking. Kids doing their homework. And I saw this at Kahala as well. But I thought, what a concept. I was in a mall where we had to take everything that you could sit on out. Because we didn't want people hanging around.
Right. You want to mine.
Hawaii, I found, is much more family.
Pardon me.
Much more family-oriented. And I love that about this place. And it's really great because it has, you know, we encourage it. And I think that's wonderful. And people don't abuse it. They don't sleep. They don't hang out here forever. You know, I think security helps that issue.
Sure.
But it's used in the right way. And that's what, I mean, a mall is really the center of our society, almost. I mean, I think they're very important to our social beings in different areas of the country, but
especially in this area where parents are working and they're not going to come home till later because of the traffic and whatnot.
Right.
Kids,
yeah,
and a lot of kids hang out at this mall.
They do, and for the most part, compared to what I'm used to in the eastern United States, the kids here are delightful. You know, they really, really, even the ones that are the troublemakers, when I look at them compared to, and I don't want this to misconstrued the wrong way by the young people, but they really are pretty well behaved.
And so would you have more of that, or are you more common in those areas where people sit?
We're actually getting some better furniture. So we're not going to increase the size, but we're just making it more comfortable for them, and still keeping that element in the overall design of the center. And I think that's very, very important.
When's that going to happen?
We just ordered it, so in about 8 weeks we should have it. And we really want our shoppers to feel like they have a sense of ownership.
Mm-hmm.